Hey, business building warrior, welcome to Silent Sales Machine Radio, the podcast that features hundreds of success stories from the world-class Amazon seller training called Proven Amazon Course. That's right, as we approach 800 episodes of this podcast, 6 million downloads on iTunes, thanks to you spreading the word, we've had now hundreds of interviews with students who've taken the training that has become known in the industry in many, many places as the number one top selling, but more importantly, top producing Amazon seller training, as evidenced by the sheer volume of success stories. We see Amazon selling as having a very bright future based on the numbers. The basic numbers are nearly half of all transactions in the United States online any given day are happening on Amazon. All the other millions of websites share the other half of the action. And it's growing. The number of people who rely on Amazon every day to shop conveniently and get stuff delivered quickly to their front porch, the numbers are growing up, going up quickly. Amazon can't keep up with the demand. We teach you how to help Amazon meet and fill the underserved shelf space at Amazon. That's the basic Amazon seller training that we give all new students. We call it the Amazon Replens model. And then from there, we move on into dozens of other opportunities that are available to you with those basic skills as the foundation. Everything from branded bundles to maybe launching your own product, getting into wholesale, becoming a consultant. And that's just the start. We've been teaching a lot lately about Walmart, about eBay, about all the other platforms as well. We love teaching all those things. But if you're new and you're ready to do some work and apply a proven system that's helped, again, hundreds of interviews that you've heard on this podcast, these are students who were new and clueless, and now they've built beautiful businesses using the proven Amazon course training or our coaching. If you want to have a conversation with us, you can book a phone call at silentgym.com/book-a-call. Let's have a talk about your business. Let's see if what we have to offer would be of use to you. We've helped nearly 10,000 people over 20 years launch businesses through our coaching program. We'd love to have a conversation with you about which of our free or low cost, or maybe our higher end coaching services might be a good fit for you. Get on our calendar. There's a link to anything you're going to hear on the show today in the show notes, again, at silentgym.com. Just find today's podcast episode. Well, before we jump into today's content, it's not me providing the bulk of the content today. As you may have noticed, there's a pattern around here. Most Wednesdays lately, the past several months, have been a Coach's Corner episode, which means we bring in a couple of the great coaches from our coaching team, and they talk about the topics that they've been discussing with their students lately, the students who come through our coaching program. What issues are they running into? What's working? What are some of the challenges? What are some of the triumphs? Just let's dive into some very specific content. That's what we do around here most Wednesdays. Today's no exception. Brian and Robin Joy Olson will be joining us in just a moment. They don't mention it on today's episode, so I'm going to mention it to you now and remind you, if you weren't aware, we've got a conference coming up in May 23rd through 25th of 2024 in Orlando, Florida. Brian and Robin Joy Olson are actually doing a lot of the sessions there. We have over 40 breakout sessions with about 25 different coaches and leaders from our community doing great different sessions on all manner of topics in Orlando at that May event. The website, by the way, is theprovenconference.com. But Brian and Robin Joy are also doing a pre-event workshop, smaller setting, 25, 30 people we're anticipating. It's a separate event entirely. I'll be there. Jimmy Smith, the guy that systemized Replens, will be there. We're going to be hanging out with you, spending two intense days opening up your laptop, diving in, showing you exactly the way we run our businesses, helping you find great test-worthy ASINs. So if you're interested in that, there's a link in the show notes to that as well. You can go to provenamazoncourse.com/100. Those three digits, 100. Just remember that. provenamazoncourse.com/100 is that special offer for that workshop. If it's not full already, which we will let you know on that page once it's full, we'd love to have you come a couple days early. But at this conference, you can join hundreds of us from this community, your fellow listeners to this podcast, some of the most exciting success stories and trainers and coaches from our community. These are all people from our community. We're not bringing in a bunch of outside experts to talk about their latest book or course. This is an all-content event. Like I said, 40 plus breakout sessions. You're going to leave this event fired up, encouraged, equipped, and have more good ideas than you can possibly implement. You have to shrink that list down from 100 good ideas to 2 or 3 that you're going to go home and do right away and then chip away at the rest of them as time allows, but the relationships as well. We really want you there. It's shaping out to be our best event yet. This is our 12th annual conference. We've done this 11 times in the past, making this the longest running annual Amazon seller event in the world. Pretty incredible. We'd love to have you be a part of it. Join us in Orlando. The website again, theprovenconference.com. Today's episode is, like I said, Brian and Robin Joy Olson talking about journaling and the different strategies that go into journaling. And if you've never journaled before, let me just strongly encourage you to consider doing it. If nothing else, just document the journey with a few bullet points each day, what you did, what you tried, how it's going. Flip back a few pages for accountability purposes and see what you had committed to earlier. Remark on how that's going. The journal will serve not just as a documentation of how your business grew over the years, but it's going to allow your subconscious to work on those little problems and those little challenges that you've committed to by putting pen to paper. Pen to paper is very important. And Brian and Robin Joy don't point this out today, and I could go on and on about the benefits of journaling, and I love this topic. I'll let them take the bulk of the topic here, of course. But the thing that occurred to me as I was listening to them present this topic was, in much the same way that you might have had this experience where you're trying to remember somebody's name, or you're trying to remember the name of a song that you just heard, or you know, a name from the past, something that you've forgotten, a little tidbit of something, and you just can't remember. And you know, as soon as you stop trying, half an hour, 2 days later, boom, there it is, and it pops in your head. Have you ever noticed how that happens? It happens to all of us, right? Maybe as you get older, it happens a little more. But that's your subconscious kind of working on that problem. You stopped trying, but it's still working on it. And if you want to do that with great intention, do this. I mean, you could even do this with that silly song you're trying to remember who wrote it. You know, that 80s song, who was the artist? If you write it down on paper and say, who was the artist that sang that this song, whatever, with this lyric from the 80s, what you're going to discover is as soon as you get done writing it, shut it, put it down, forget about it. You've committed your brain to working on those problems. By putting pen to paper, it's a very powerful process. It's not the same to type it out on the computer screen. This isn't gym wisdom. This is modern psychology will tell you, and ageless, timeless wisdom will tell you, writing it down carries a lot of weight. It lets your brain work on stuff even while you don't realize it's working on it. So having a journal, that's just one of, I could give you numerous benefits. Brian and Robin Joy are about to give you a whole bunch of very practical benefits to journaling when it comes to being a student of e-commerce and why it's important and what they've seen with some of their students. So I'm going to turn it over to them for the rest of the program. Enjoy hanging out with two great coaching leaders in our community, Brian and Robin Joy Olson. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to Silent Sales Machine Radio. We are your co-hosts. I'm Brian.
And I'm Robin Joy.
And this is Coach's Corner. Robin, we're going to kick this episode off with a question we got this week about journaling. Mm-hmm. We get this frequently from new coaching clients, and they're like, hey, I like to keep a journal, or I heard about keeping a journal. What's the best way to do this? You want to kick off this topic?
Yeah, we do absolutely encourage journaling. I feel like when you journal, you kind of have a way to kind of get your thoughts down, to kind of have a conversation with yourself almost, and figure out where you are and where you want to be. So there are a couple of ways of journaling, though, especially when you're in business. The first way is the way most people think of, which is kind of journaling for your growth and mindset. But what we've learned, and we've heard this from other people, this is not something we made up, but someone said to us, instead of worrying is like praying for something bad to happen. Mm-hmm. Right? So we like to not worry, but what do we like to do, Brian?
We like to talk about things as if they have already happened.
Yes.
Right?
And be grateful for
it. Yep, and be grateful that it did happen.
Yeah. We have done this ourselves, and if you're willing, Brian, I know it's personal, but if you'll share your journal with us from a time when you journaled and you were grateful for something as if it was going to already happen?
Well, yeah, let me just set the table a little bit on this. I think the journaling from a personal perspective, whether it's mindset, who you are, where you come from, what your beliefs are, is kind of how I started journaling, almost like a diary from a tracking sort of an experiential journey. But then there's also the, instead of worrying, there's praying for something bad to happen, pray for something good to happen.
Yeah.
And the way that we pray for something good to happen is to be grateful and act as if it already happened. So there was this time, six, 2 months into starting the business.
Okay. Before I was involved.
Before you were involved, and I was traveling for work and I'm sitting in the airport and I picked up this journal at the, get this on, showing it on camera, from the airport gift shop. And I was like, I need to start keeping some notes. And so the note I wrote on this day was when I was waiting for the plane.
Hold on just a second. So this is before you had ever gone to a proven conference. Right. Sorry. And this was also, I recognize this journal. And when I see it around, you still sometimes refer to it, I see it around. It's very kind of special in this household because it has this one entry in it that we keep going back to. So sorry about that. Now go ahead and share that with us, if you will.
No, so this is dated June 21st, 2019. And it says, today we hit $50,000 a month in sales on Amazon. The goal was achieved quicker than projected. After going to the Proven Conference and getting more inspired and more ideas and more exposure to creativity, I was able to come home and find a couple of new wholesalers and create a couple of dozen new bundles. To think that we were able to make this happen in less than 1 year is Amazon amazing.
All right. So you wrote that a couple of months in, and that was not the case when you wrote that, correct? What were you doing actually when you wrote that?
Okay. So June of 2019, well, I was probably doing about a million things because I remember that I was trying to do everything, right? I was trying
to... Your coach was trying to... Get you to focus.
I was trying to make bundles. I was trying to do KDP. I was trying to do private label. I was
and apparently wholesale.
To do wholesale. I was trying to do everything. And so, yeah, this was not too long, I think, before I reached out to my coach and I was like, hey, how come I'm not getting this the way that other people are getting it? And she basically said, it's because you're not focusing. You're trying to do a million different things. And so... then we kind of made a plan together and she sort of got me started journaling in a different way, journaling for the business growth.
Okay. Well, before we go there, let's talk about what actually happened and how that was, why that's so special to us.
So the note that I wrote in here, and if you're looking at my screen, if you're watching this on TV, you can see that I did
on YouTube.
I can't get the direction straight here. Anyway, I did go back and write in there actually when this happened, because it happened. Now, when I wrote this, I was a long way from $50,000 a month. I mean, I was probably doing, I can tell you, June was my second full month. I think I did $2,400 in sales.
Okay.
So this is not even like I'm knocking on the door of 50K.
Right.
I am so far away from 50K, I can't even get a cent of it.
Okay.
Right?
So this is one of those really big goals that you really throw out there. And
yeah, it's like one of those where you're just like totally unrealistic, but you never know. If you don't put it out there, it's for sure not going to happen. But if you do put it out there, it could happen.
Right.
So I put it out there.
Okay.
And so then what happened is when we don't actually have the other journal that we were keeping.
Not in front of us.
In front of us after this, the year following this. But the year following this, in April of 2020, we actually eclipsed $50,000 a month in sales. And it's interesting to be able to track it from this journal to the journal into 2019, and then a different journal that I'll share in a few minutes when we get into the business journaling part of it, that is, you can track back all the way back to when the thought first came into your head about how something was or wasn't going to work, and then track it come to fruition.
Okay, there's another thing that I find interesting about that. We did make the $50,000 in the 1 month in April of 2020 was the first time we did that.
Yep.
But did we do it in the way that you said?
Not at all.
I find that interesting too.
Yeah, so I noted that I wanted a couple of new wholesalers and I was going to create a couple of dozen new bundles. Well, first of all, I didn't have any idea what kind of work goes into creating a bundle at that time. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I wanted to create bundles. Mm-hmm. And what is interesting is that the way it happened wasn't through wholesalers or bundles. It was through just leveraging the authorized retail outlets that we were already using, but expanding our book of business in them. So
interestingly enough, mm-hmm. your coach told you focus mm-hmm. so that you can meet your goals.
Yep.
And you focused on replens, and that's how you met your goals. That tells me a couple of things. One, your coach can get you back on track when you go crazy, right?
Yep.
When you go clear off the rails. It also tells me maybe three things. I'm going to tell you three of the two things that it tells me. The second thing that it tells me is that when you focus, you often can come up with things to meet your goals, even if you don't know what they are in the beginning, mm-hmm. what those things are going to be. So we may not know what we're trying to, how we're going to get to what we're trying to accomplish. But we know that if we throw something out there and take some action, that somehow we can find a way to get that accomplished. We don't have to know the how. We don't have to completely understand what's going to happen. What we have to know is that it's going to happen and plan on it.
Right. It is interesting how the, there's a couple of sayings that come to mind. One of them is that you and I have said recently, like, if you want to get results, you got to get in the game.
Yeah.
You can't score a touchdown if you're not in the game. Mm-hmm. You can't stand in the crowd or on the sidelines and actually make a score. Mm-hmm. Also, I've heard it said, God can't steer a parked car.
Right.
You actually have to get going, right?
Put it in gear.
You have to put it in gear and actually start getting some things happening before the rest of these things are going to fall into place.
Yeah.
So it is important. It's not important that you understand the how.
Agreed.
It is important that you understand the why. Mm-hmm. The why is what your dream is and why you want to achieve that dream. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are tons of psychological reasons that sure. we would do things like that. But for us, it was something that we wanted to achieve. $50,000 meant something else. But in this particular entry, it was represented in monthly sales.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really interesting, Brian, and we appreciate that you share that with us. I know that's personal, but I think that will help people understand what you can get by journaling. Now, you did mention journaling in a more of a business sense, and what does that look like for you?
Well, so this is what I was saying. My coach kind of got me turned on to this mm-hmm. because when she was like, okay, I need you to refocus here on the things that are going to right now can impact your business, and that was replants. Mm-hmm. And she said, I want you to track, first of all, make your schedule mm-hmm. of what hours exactly you're going to be doing this, what days of the week, and how many hours in total that's going to be. Mm-hmm. Because as she said, you're competing against people who do this all day long, every day. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're not going to win this game. You're not going to achieve your goals on 60 minutes a day.
Yeah. And right? I don't think she meant literally competing because we don't really compete with each other
right.
in this community. But yeah, when you say, how come I don't have what he's got? Well, you're talking about somebody who's doing something differently
right.
than you are. Right.
Right. So she said, here's what I suggest. Make the schedule. Mm-hmm. And it was 15 hours. It mm-hmm. was 15 to 20 because I put in some weekend time in there that was a little bit flexible. Mm-hmm. And then after every day, I was to follow up with her. This was the accountability portion in an email of the things that I had done.
Yes.
During those hours of that day. And I was keeping track of it in the same journal, the same stuff I was doing each day. And then I would take what I had written in the journal, transpose that over into an email that I was sent to my coach and say, okay, today I sourced this brand and these products mm-hmm. and found this, or these brand and this products and found nothing, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it was. And every day that I was doing my sourcing that I committed to on my schedule, I was sending that. And so then I got in the habit of just sort of documenting everything that I was doing. And it reminds me of, you ever see those, like the Emmys or medical examiners or whatever, who they keep the little tape recorder with them. And they're always like, they turn it on. They're like, mm-hmm. you know, March 3rd, you know, mm-hmm. 1 PM, so-and-so whatever. And they're tracking right. everything, right? That's kind of like a journal. And that's what I was doing relative to the business was tracking it was basically an experiential journal. Here's mm-hmm. what I did and here were the results.
Yeah. And this is what was working for me. This is what was not working for me. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to do that same sort of thing. For instance, when they're first experimenting with sourcing, you know, we get into it and we start sourcing items, but then things come up. Well, this is not really working for me. Do you have another way I can do it? Well, let's start keeping track of what we've tried, how that worked, and where we need to adjust that to make it work better, and things that we can add to it. And I like to have people kind of keep track of what they're trying and how it's working, because pieces of that may work for you that we can apply to something different and make it work even better for you.
Yeah, that's a thing that happened when I was going through all that documentation of the experiential journaling, is that I remember flipping back through the pages, looking for the places that I had found success before, and going back to them and expanding upon them. Yes. Because often I would take a note, like, you know, this thing didn't work, but look into this one. But I didn't want to interrupt what I was doing at the time to go off and down that rabbit trail, because then I could spend all night doing rabbit trails instead of getting through my tasks.
Sure.
And so, but it is helpful to go back to those, identify where you did find some success and rabbit trail off of that later on. And I call them my honeypots. I was always going back to my honeypots.
Yeah. And you have told me another way that this has worked for you. And I agree, is when you're working through maybe a list of ASINs or a source that you're trying to exhaust, you sometimes things pop into your head, or you see something that you want to go back and look at later, or something that you're not currently approved to sell. And you make a note of that. And then this in this way, you can go back and find, where am I? Oh, I got approved for Starbucks today. So let's go back and see what I was thinking when I saw a Starbucks listing. So it can be helpful in many, many ways, both business and mindset to journal. Is that correct?
Oh, I think it totally is. And just one little topic that is completely off script is are going to do like the recording type of thing instead of actually writing it, because saying it aloud takes a lot less time than typing it out or writing it out, right? Is that you can use a program like Descript or some other voice to audio recognition to text, and then you can have it all sort of typed out, and then you can go back to it anytime that you want. And it can be indexable and very easy to keep track of, as opposed to trying to fast forward through your audio files.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good point. That's a good tip. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So that leads us into, we talked about journaling. That leads us into tracking.
Yes.
We also believe in tracking. Now, it might seem a little bit the same, but tracking we consider to be different in that we're looking at key performance indicators, right? We're looking to see what kinds of keys we can find to tell us if those are doing well, our business is doing well, right? And where we need to make adjustments in order to meet the KPIs that we've set for ourselves, right?
Right. So after I moved from this blank, you know, journal, we moved into a slightly different version of a journal that was more keeping track of some tasks that we were doing, as well as just a section for creative writing, if you want to. But we started making a certain portion of this journal were dedicated to where we would track specific KPIs about our business.
That's right. And if you coach with us, you know, we share that with you for those of you who are coaching.
I was thinking, we're not to that part yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In the next version
before
of the journal.
Before we built this one. Okay.
Yeah, we found ourselves always writing in the same things. We were writing in what was our sales yesterday, month-to-date sales, year-to-date sales, how did our test or our replens perform, how was our account health score, how many feedbacks did we get, you know, all these kinds of things that we were tracking every day. How many new items did we send in this week, you know, or weekly things that we were checking.
Right.
So those kinds, like our IPI score. It's nice to know that when you're making changes, when you think about something, when you focus on it, you tend to create more of that. So
if you're
focusing on creating a better IPI, you're focusing on creating a better account health score, you're focusing on finding more successful tests, then that's what's usually going to appear, right? So those are the kinds of things that we were tracking to help us stay on track for the things in our business.
And help us find opportunities for bettering our whatever it was that we were focusing on.
Yeah, one of the other things that we were also checking was our operating cash flow, We had spending goals. We still have spending goals.
Mm-hmm.
We don't track that because we have more regular things going now.
Uh-huh.
But back then we needed to spend all of our money if we were going to hit our sales goals.
Uh-huh.
And the only way that we could hit our sales goals was spend our money. And then, so we had to keep track of that because it
was
we had
to keep track of how much cash we had to spend.
How much we had available.
Make sure that
we had enough
cash to meet our spending goal.
So we were looking at our, you know, business operating account. We're looking at our business expenses account. We're tracking all of those kind of things to make sure that it is where we expect it to be. And if it's not, then we make adjustments.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Inventory was another great one that we love to keep track of too, right? What is our inventory valuation currently? What is our, in an effort, once you kind of know what your inventory valuation is and how that relates to your daily, weekly, monthly sales, then it's kind of, you'll know in advance of when you're going to have a dip in sales.
Right.
You'll know if my inventory valuation this week or today is not on par with the normal, then I could see a little blip in my future sales.
May I say, so much easier to take when you're expecting it.
Yes.
If it comes out of nowhere, it gets a little scary. But when you're keeping track, you're tracking these KPIs, you'll know something's coming. Prepare for that because of something that has happened.
Another thing that I love to track is the average sales price. And my average gross and net profit. So the reason is when we're doing, like we oftentimes do a business health check with a coaching client, and we'll get in and explore all the different pieces and parts of the ASIN level expenses, the minutia, refund expenses, all your storage fees and FBA fees and all that kind of stuff, your prep fees, supplies. Name it all out. If you're trying to affect your book of business by making changes to the types of things that you're sourcing and selling, then this is another early indicator of whether those things are working for you or not when you're tracking your average sales price, when you're tracking your average inbound shipping cost or whatever those things are.
Yes. And when you go over this with a coaching client, I know usually when I send them to you to have this session, they come back with just wild, raving, wonderful response about what you did for them. But really, it's their own business. You didn't do anything, right? It's their own business that they all of a sudden are seeing in a different way. And this can help them see the opportunities they have. What are the opportunities for me to make my business better? This is what we talk about. Build a foundation. And then once you get that foundation built, and you've built in some security, you've built in some regular things that are happening, and in some expectations, predictability is the word I'm looking for, then you can go back and start making that big book of business better. You can start impacting that book of business using opportunities that you can see. So I think that's really, really helpful. The tracking really, really makes that so much more doable.
Well, and not to digress too much, but one of the cool things about that session when I do it with folks is it's like pulling back the curtain because on a business, because so much of what we see is just the payouts from Amazon
because
they don't make it super easy to get in there and see all of your costs and fees and stuff like that. So if you're a seller board user, that's a great place. I love to go
Very
and look
helpful.
At like previous month and take all those, the breakdown. I mean, expand all those carrots and get all those points, those data points. Great way to go in and see exactly what's going on in your business and then see how you can impact change in your book of business.
Sure. Yep. It's a good thing to do. All right. So that's tracking.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on tracking?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. So what does that naturally lead into? The journaling, the tracking, where do we get from there,
so,
Brian?
Great question. I think when we're tracking kind of just the things we were talking about, tracking our inventory, tracking our cash flow, tracking the changes that we're trying to make to our books.
Tracking the changes themselves. I think that's important.
Tracking the changes. That can naturally lead to the development of your standard operating procedures.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this for a minute.
Okay.
If I were noting all of the changes that I was making in my behavior, expecting to get a result, I would want to track to see if I got the result.
Right.
But I want to measure before and I want to measure after.
Okay.
And when I've found the optimal place in there, I've achieved the optimal results, then I want to document what it was that got me to achieve those optimum results. That is your SOP, or can be your SOP. Right? So what is the, and the SOP is something as simple as a one pager or even a three step check, right?
Sure, sure. What is your procedure for making sure this task happens? Because we have certain tasks, and at a high level, mm-hmm. we know that those are sourcing, shopping, prep and ship, mm-hmm. repricing, and replenishing.
Yep.
Right? What are the procedures that I've put in place that work well for me and my business? It's going to be different for everyone's business, mm-hmm. slightly or largely different, depending on who you're comparing to. But your standard operating procedures should be the way you, at least so far in your business, like to do things. That way, when life, and it will inevitably happen, when life happens, you have a plan so that if you can't spend as much time, at least you have these things that make sure that you get done. If you have an accident or something horrible should happen, God forbid, that we should not be able to do this ourselves. People come to help. They want to help when you need them. But if you don't have anything to show them, if they can't look and be able to do it because you don't have anything in writing and it's all in your head, it's going to make it really, really hard for them to help.
You say when life happens, because life is going to happen.
Yeah.
It is. There's no getting around it. Things are going to happen.
Yes. We know this very well.
You weren't in the Amazon business at the time, but when you had a stroke and was in the ICU, you were in the ICU, was in the ICU. When you were in the ICU for 5 days or whatever
it was. I might have been talking like that at the time.
That, you know, if you were the only one doing the business, you couldn't just tell me even how to do it.
No.
But if you could have given me a document or two or four, kind of all around those sourcing, like you were talking about, those major parts of the business.
If you could have gone to my office and found that, mm-hmm. if this had been the case.
And also, this lends itself to then allowing you to scale and outsource or outsource and scale your business.
Yes.
So your SOPs is where it's at. This is your IP. Mm-hmm. We love the acronyms around here. In fact, I have a...
you do.
I have my BOA over here in the corner.
BOA.
My book of acronyms. Yes.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, you know, I even forgot what I was talking about now with all the acronyms.
Yourself.
Your intellectual property is what this is for how you run your business. And this is where your business, quote unquote, secrets are. And whether it's a secret or not, it needs to be documented. It should be documented so that when life happens, someone else can pick up that ball and run with it. Now, that's one example. Mm-hmm. There's another example of a coach who's on our team, Travis Sears, who last summer had a very serious ankle injury and then was not able to do the RA shopping or the prepping and all that kind of stuff that he was doing. Thankfully, he had enough of a system in place and he has a lot of good people in this business.
He had people coming to him wanting to help.
Yep.
Just such a generous, generous community and friends that he has. And they wanted to help. And if he could not have given them, if he hadn't made these decisions and documented them, I'm sure he wished he had more than he had, but they could help him. And he did get a lot of help. And he's weathered. I think he's probably not fully recovered yet.
Physically. His business just took a slight dip, right? And then it was right back on track.
Quite impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are examples of life can happen. What are you going
to
do?
So one thing to note here is with the SOPs or whatever processes, procedures, knowledge that you have in your organization, it's never going to be as good as where it probably should be. Mm-hmm. And this is the reality in any business, in my experience anyway. I've worked for Fortune 100, 500 companies, all the way down to startups and everything in between. And the documentation is never where you need it to be. Never. It's never there. But something is better than nothing, or as one of my old bosses used to say, done is better than perfect. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that wasn't his original quote, but
right,
done is better than perfect. Get something that can always be improved on. And this is leads to the last point here, which is these should be living documents. They should be updated. Mm-hmm. For example, if your process for inbound transportation was a certain way before March 1st, that could very well have changed on March 1st when Amazon's new inbound shipping programs changed.
Right.
So you'll want to potentially go back and update that document accordingly.
Yeah, and I even, being who I am, I like to have a schedule an SOP for updating SOPs.
Oh, so, there we go.
A regular look at those is not a bad idea. And you can outsource that. You can have other people, you know, test it. Does it still work? Mm-hmm. Do we need to make it? Are we doing things differently now? Have we made different decisions? Because we know Amazon changes things. Mm-hmm. It's just part of what we deal with. And we have to pivot sometimes.
And your business changes too.
Right? Your suppliers change. A lot of things change. Maybe you move. Mm-hmm. Things change. So if you know where you're coming from, it's a lot easier to know how to adjust or how to make that pivot if you know what you're trying to accomplish and what it was before, right?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So just to circle back and put a nice bow on this, journaling we started out with here does help us grow from a mindset perspective, from a belief perspective. And if things are not uncomfortable, then you're probably not growing. And that's not always bad. But if you're looking to change things in your business or your life, then journaling can be a good start for that.
Agreed. Tracking can show us where we need to make adjustments. Tracking can tell us whether what we've done is giving us what we wanted to get out of it. And tracking can help us understand what's happening in our business. So meeting KPIs can help us, key performance indicators can help us with those things, and tracking helps us know whether we met them or not.
Yep.
Right?
And then we have our SOPs, our standard operating procedures, and these help us from having to relearn things over and over again.
Right.
There's a process, it's documented. We go pull it off the shelf or find it, pull it off the shelf, or find it online and then refer to it. Right.
Very good. So these are just some things in documentation in your business. Mm-hmm. You get to make the decisions. You get to decide. You get to adjust the way you want to. And that's what makes room for all of us. We're all just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Right? And we all come into this business with different experiences and different areas of expertise. So
do you have a quote for us today, Brian?
I do. This famous quote.
Yes.
Famous quote. Okay. Comes to us from Dennis Waitley.
Okay.
And it's very apropos for today's topic. It's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you're not.
Help us apply that.
So I think about this all the time from a, what is that term where you're faking it? It's like fake it till you make it, but imposter syndrome. That's what I was going for.
Okay.
If you've got imposter syndrome, okay, this is because it's who you think you're not.
Right.
Right. But if you don't have imposter syndrome, then you're not stretching yourself and you're not trying to learn and grow and advance, progress.
Yeah, I agree. So if you think you're not that guy, doesn't mean you can't become that guy. And you're probably not giving yourself enough credit either. You're probably closer to that guy than you think you are because you have imposter syndrome.
And going back to the early journaling part, be that person. If nowhere else in your journal, be that person that you want to be.
Agreed. That's wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Brian, for sharing that personal bit with us. That's a true story, and that really happened. That's us, and we've got a million of them.
Do you know how we did it?
How did we do it?
We didn't do new wholesalers and all that.
No, how did we do it?
We went and found more ASINs. Actually, you went and found more ASINs.
Well, once you got me involved, that's all you let me do for a long time was find more ASINs.
We both found a lot more ASINs, but that's what made it all happen.
Yep.
Let's go get some more of those.
All right, let's get some more.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, you guys. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I've got one last thing before I let you go, though. Stick around for a tip from Jeff Schick. If you haven't heard him before, he stops in once a week or so, hangs out with us for a few minutes, and talks about Amazon policy, Amazon legal. He's the go-to expert for our team, for my business, for so many of the leaders and coaches in our community, and a whole bunch of listeners to this show as well. Yeah. He's got a great model where for just a few dollars a day, you can put him on retainer. And anything Amazon legal, policy, those sorts of things, IP complaints, his team handles it with you and for you. And he's always got a great tip for us. It's jeffschick.com. You can see it in the show notes as well. But Jeff, what do you got for us this week?
All right. Well, today we're talking about something a bit more sensitive. It's stolen goods on Amazon. And so I'll jump right into it. We have about 8 sellers that we're working with right now that have had some form of stolen goods issue touch their account. So some sellers are being asked to verify where their goods came from. and they're thinking that they might have a problem. We have some sellers that have actually been notified by Amazon that they were found to be selling stolen goods who are currently suspended. And we have other sellers who were notified that they were selling stolen goods but are not suspended, that are kind of like in a limbo state right now. And so it's just Amazon's been taking different actions depending on the seller, pretty arbitrarily in typical Amazon fashion.
It's a gray fuzzy area that you need to avoid at all costs is what I'm hearing so far.
Absolutely. So, and it really comes down to diligence, due diligence. Mm-hmm. So,
and by the way, just to be clear, I don't think anyone in our community actually steals goods, but you can get your hands on stolen goods without realizing it.
Right.
Really easily. The deal feels too good to be true. Eddie's selling out of the back of his truck or some bargain discount barn. I mean, like, where are these stolen goods ultimately coming from? Those are my guesses. And people aren't actually going out and stealing goods and selling them.
No, I don't think most of our clients, yeah, I could say at least 100% of clients I'm working with did not actually physically shoplift the goods.
Right.
But they did, but every one of the clients I worked with actually bought from what they thought was a wholesale company. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even like they went to, you know, bargain basement, you know, pallets are, you know, available here for $20, you know, and type of place. They actually went to legit wholesalers. They paid close to regular MSRP, you know, or wholesale pricing on a product. So, you know, if a product goes for $20 retail and distributor pricing would be, you know, $12 or whatever, you know, think Keystone pricing, it'd be like $12, $10. They paid $10, $12 for it. It wasn't they were paying $2. They were paying full price. But it turns out that these distributors or wholesale companies were fake. And they're just shell companies set up by what right now the California Highway Patrol is alleging to be, you know, drug cartels that stole goods. Either some of them stole entire tractor trailers, some of them robbed warehouses, and then some of them actually sent children into stores and shoplifted goods from stores.
Knowing that they can't get in trouble because they're under 18. And, you know, in California, you got the $900 a day limit or whatever it is. People are trying to figure out how to turn those stolen goods into cash. You know, and we've all seen the, you know, crash and grab mobs clearing out stores. What are they going to do with that stuff? Well, try to turn it into cash. That stuff could end up on a pallet. And next thing you know, you're selling it. That's crazy.
So I know it's like this obviously introduced a lot of fear. So how do we avoid it? I mean, I'd hate to say a blanket rule is avoid any wholesaler based in Southern California, but if they are based in Southern California, you may want to really do your due diligence because that's where right now most of these companies are coming from.
Well, that's where the crazy laws are. That's where you know the center of the crazy universe seems to be there a lot of times when it comes to business laws. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, verify it, look it up yourself, but it's like either $500 or $900 a day you can shoplift and you're not going to be prosecuted.
Right. It's quite crazy. It's quite a lot. So how do you avoid it? I mean, really, it just comes down to due diligence. So, you know, if you look up and, you know, I'm going to make up a completely made up name here, you know, Prime Distributors. Well, first off, might be concerned about the word Prime because that's a red flag that this is not a real distribution company, but it sounds cool. And it probably resonates well with Amazon sellers because they hear Prime and think, oh, wow, it must be a legitimate big company. No, it's really not. So first thing is you think about the name, you know, does the name sound like Amazon or Prime or any of these Amazon-ish type companies? If it does, red flag. Similarly, go to California Secretary of State. You can type in any company that's registered in California. So if they claim that their name is, you know, Amazing Wholesale Deals LLC, you go to type it in on Secretary of State. Was it created last year? If so, they're probably not an authorized dealer of big brand name products. It's really hard to get those contracts. So that's another red flag. Or if it doesn't exist at all, big red flag too. You know, like if it's just a fake company. Other things you can use, things like Internet Archives, waybackmachine.org, I believe is what it is. You can type in any website there and see what it looked like throughout history, you know, if they have screenshots in time. So if you type it in and it says it was created, you know, 6 months ago, red flag, you know. Big wholesale companies selling brand name goods are generally established businesses that have been around at least a decade. I mean, you know, you don't get to sell 3M products if you haven't been around for 10 years or more. They're not taking startups out of generosity of their heart. It's just not going to happen because they've got to uphold their supply chain. So, talking to people, you know, if they don't have a phone number, they don't have a legit, you know, address. Like you should be able to type in the address for a distributor on Google Maps. and click on Street View. And if they're a big distributor that's selling, you know, I'm just going to harp on 3M. By the way, 3M is not one of the stolen products, but it's assumed that, you know, it's 3M that you're going to buy from them. 3M is not going to sell to a distributor that doesn't have their name, the name of the company on the side of the building, or at least on a sign. So if you're going down the street and it's a UPS store address, definitely not a real distributor. If you're going on the PO box, not a real distributor. If you're going on and it's a house, not a real distributor. Mm-hmm. If you go on and it's a warehouse, but there's no name on it, or the name on the warehouse on Street View doesn't match up with the name that you're expecting for the company.
Right.
Doesn't mean that it's not a real distributor, but I would certainly look into what is that company? You know, like what is the name on that warehouse?
Yep.
And look them up and figure out, you know, who they are.
Great tips, man. So if I'm one of your clients and I've got you on retainer and I'm considering a wholesale source, is this something that you guys would help me investigate?
Absolutely. We do it all the time for sellers. So you just schedule a 20-minute call with us. There's no charge. We jump on the phone, we look at it with you, and you know, I like to say we tear it apart. It's either going to be able to put back together, or it'll end up in a pile on the floor, and it's you want to avoid that pile anyway. So
I love you guys are developing some real instincts, where I've noticed a few times I've reached out to your team and it's like, yeah, you're the 30th person to ask. Yep, don't do that. I'm like, okay, well, there you go. You've already done the hard work and research. You guys already kind of probably know who some of these bad actors are. Don't want to get you into any litigation by calling them out on a podcast, but you guys have your list internally that we can kind of all benefit from by bouncing these things off, getting your opinion on things. So I always appreciate that, man.
Absolutely. We definitely do. We have a list of brands and we have a list of distributors and stores and everything in between. So the beauty of us is we're completely paperless, because obviously we've got a team on multiple continents here. So we all have to share access to this data. Yes. And so it's, you know, we can type in almost any data point into our tool, and it's going to give us a global view of who's worked on that case, if there is any case related to it, what happened and how. And so we use that for a lot of our you know, decision-making, you know, decision trees.
Yeah. I think of you guys almost as a traffic light. You've got your red light, like, don't do this, stay away. You got your green light. Yeah, yeah, go for it. And you got your yellow, like, well, here's the risk. Some people are getting away with it. Some people are getting, you know, into some trouble here. You make your decision, but here's our advice.
You got it.
Ideally, with the more clarity that Amazon operates, that yellow portion would disappear completely, but they're not always consistent. So, you know, that's the world we get to play in. But you guys are doing a great job serving the community well. Looking forward to seeing you at the conference, The Proven Conference. You're a great sponsor this year. I really appreciate that, man.
We are so happy to be able to help so many people go to the conference this year. So, you know, it's really exciting. When I've talked to several of our clients that have gotten some of the scholarship tickets, and it's really exciting to be able to say, hey, I can't wait to see you in July and talk face to face about your business. So
yeah,
I'm excited
for helping make that possible, for sure. You guys were the top sponsor at the event this year, and we're very generous. And absolutely, like you pointed out, we've been able to offer many people scholarships. We still have a handful, actually. If someone wants to inquire about that, they can go to theprovenconference.com/scholarship, fill out the form. If finances are a little tight, you're checking out our community, but you can't quite justify the expense, we'd love to get you there at no cost to come just experience this community. Here, Jeff, he's going to be speaking, presenting on several great topics, rolling out some new stuff that we can't wait to bring to the community at some great discounts just for attendees. This goes for live stream listeners as well. If you can't attend, get to theprovenconference.com and look for the live stream option. We're going to have a lot of people join us that way too, Jeff. But thanks for hanging out with me today, man. Can't wait to do this again next week. Are we on?
That sounds good.
All right. Talk to you then.
Thank you.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Visit silentgym.com for a link to our free newsletter, our free Facebook group, and all of our resources mentioned on today's show.